This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. So here's the scene. Eiffel 65 is at the Cat's Cradle playing their 1998 hit single, Blue, on repeat. Weeks pass, and Eiffel 65 does not stop. Only you can bring light to the dark musical landscape. This is your quest. In the new retro video game Super Body Games RPG, that and unlocking songs off the new album by Body Games The Band. Even for non-gamers or daily lurkers in downtown Carrboro, playing the game might remind you of the satisfaction of really earning music. Talking about that joy of walking out of a record shop holding the physical object that you bought with real money. And while the video game is a free download, it does take time and energy to beat the bosses, earn in-game money, and buy downloaded codes at All Day Records on Main Street. That emotional investment truly heightens the enjoyment of listening to Body Games' chaotic synth pop. The band is made up of Dax Beaton, Kate Thompson, and Adam Graetz. And they're here with us now. Dax, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Hey, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. So explain this now. Why on earth is Eiffel 65 playing at the Cat's Cradle as the frame for your game?
Yeah, that's maybe one of the top questions we get when people kind of hear about the story you just described. Why indeed? So, you know, I'll answer that in a roundabout way without giving away too many spoilers. But, you know, basically the game begins and you are a genderless alien living on a planet somewhere out there in our solar system. And you receive a mission. And your mission is basically there's another planet out there full of kind of not so nice aliens who have been going around from planet to planet. Subjugating the inhabitants of the planets and kind of creating this, amassing this large kind of obnoxious evil army. And all you really know is that your role is to kind of find them and stop them from doing this to save the universe, so to speak. So you hear from your intel that the last place that these aliens were seen was the planet of Earth, specifically Carrboro, North Carolina. And so you kind of the game begins, you go to this planet, you land, and as an alien, you know, you're kind of walking around and exploring a little bit, and you're running into creatures you've never seen before, right? Humans and cats and dogs, and what's a bar, right? What is the Orange County Social Club? I'm an alien. I've never seen a beer before. And then you come across the Cat's Cradle, and you hear Eiffel 65 playing, and you see kind of this crowd of people outside dancing in place, just hypnotically singing the lyrics, and they're not paying much attention to you. And so you, along this way, you run into the members of Body Games, who kind of start talking to you about, you know, that they also have run into Eiffel 65 earlier, and the band Eiffel 65 hid Body Games' musical equipment, their synthesizers, all around town to prevent the band from playing their show at the Cat's Cradle, which is supposed to happen that same day. So you figure, okay, this sounds like maybe this is the right path I need to be on. You join the members of Body Games, and you kind of embark on this long, silly, and hopefully heartwarming journey to kind of unravel the mystery of why is Eiffel 65 doing this specifically. So hopefully that answers the question.
I still want to know why they made Blue, but that's a question you're not going to answer, right?
So you let's. If I could ask them, I would.
Yeah, I mean, these are big questions. We get them on, we talk to them. But I've got you, Dax, and I'm happy to have you. So there's the video game on the one hand, but then there's the question of embedding the song and the album in this video game, which I think is ingenious. Right. But talk about, give us a little sense of how that works and why you decided to do it.
Yeah, so, you know, a couple things there, I guess, the how and the why. The why was, you know, Frank, I think you did a fantastic job kind of explaining some of that during the intro here, where, you know, we kind of live in this world where, you know, streaming music has become the norm, and for better or for worse, that's the way that people want to receive and listen to music. And in some ways, that's great. It gives, you know, access to a lot of people. It gives instant access, instant gratification. You don't have to think too hard or try too hard to hear music you want. But on the other hand, you know, I think that plenty of people would say they kind of miss the going out to the store and purchasing a record, or spending their hard-earned money on buying, you know, even a CD from Sam Goody, you know, back when that was still a thing. And so this is kind of a way to kind of tap back into that a little bit, where it's a digital kind of world that you're earning this money in. And by the way, it's called Toon Runes. It's the currency that you collect throughout the game. But you can spend these Toon Runes on actual songs from the game's soundtrack, which were all kind of composed by myself, and also on Body Games, my band's latest album. So as you go through, you're kind of earning this, you know, fake currency, but you're spending it on real download codes that you can go to our website. You type them in and you get the album, right? So it kind of downloads as you go. And so the more you explore, the more you unlock and download. And so that's kind of the how and the why behind that. And then in terms of why did we want to make a video game? You know, I think it was back in 2016, my band had just finished kind of coming off this long and kind of really emotional writing process for our first album, Damager. And we were, I think we had just gotten done playing Hopscotch Festival, and we were kind of sitting around thinking like, all right, what's next? What do we do next? And, you know, one of us, I can't even remember who, was like, man, I wish we could just, you know, not write music where we have to come up with lyrics and do all this stuff and pull all these, you know, heartstrings and things out. And instead, what if we could just write music for like a video game? And then the rest kind of unfolded from there. I actually had some experience creating video games as a kid without going into too much detail. And so I thought, you know, let's just kind of start trying this idea a bit. And then, you know, for lack of a better word, it kind of spiraled and unraveled into this long kind of huge project, which kind of turned into Super Body Games RPG.
Well, it's an idea whose time has come. I mean, to me, it seems so natural. And I was surprised as we were talking about this in our meetings before today, you know, I thought, well, wait, is this the first time? This can't be the first time. But they said, no, really, as far as we can tell. I mean, but you think about it, because video games looking a lot more like movies, obviously, right? Black Mirror aired a TV episode that was a choose your own adventure about a video game. And of course, video soundtracks are now, you know, very important on Spotify and every place. People are actually playing them and making them part of the background music of their life. So it's such a natural. I'm a little surprised it hadn't happened before now.
We were too. I definitely was a little bit hesitant to announce on our website, and we were doing promotion for this thing, that this is the world's first video galbum is kind of what we've coined the term as. And it's maybe a bit of a mouthful, but it is. It's a video game slash album. And I, you know, I did some research and really just kind of wanted to see, like, has this not been done? And, you know, I think there may be somewhere there's been pockets of things sort of like it tried, but I never saw anything kind of remotely close to it. And so by the time we put it out, I felt pretty confident saying this is the world's first video galbum, right? Where it's not just a video game and then there's a separate soundtrack you can go and buy off the internet with real money, but it's like, you know, the music and the soundtrack is central to the plot of the game even. And you kind of, just by beating the game, you earn that. And we thought, you know, like, wow, this is really cool that we've tapped into something that either no one has thought of, or they thought of it and didn't quite pull it off. So,
no, you did. Well, that's the fun, is actually having a tangible thing, albeit, you know, a kind of mediated all tangible thing, a song. Because so for me, sometimes the little stardust gold nuggets that go into a magic bag, not very satisfying as points for me. I mean, I'm an old guy, so I admit that, you know, asking me about my opinion about video games, probably not the right guy to ask, but it's so much more satisfying to actually get a real song, to have that song as part of the payoff, the whole thing. But, and let's talk about some of the visuals as well, because you decided to make the band's performances into a visual showcase. Is that a lot of, I mean, in terms of the technology and kind of how you make that work, can you just tape a performance and slap it in there, or do you have to do a lot of processing?
Oh, I wish it was that easy, because we have so many taped performances and that would have saved a lot of time. No. It was honestly a massive undertaking to pull off a lot of kind of the visual elements we did, simply because I was a one-person development team on a project that, you know, honestly, looking back, could have used three or four or five kind of professional developers. But, you know, what that looked like and is, for those of people listening who have maybe seen our show and you're familiar with this, but what we do, kind of one of the things that makes our live performance so unique, is that we perform behind, and this might sound strange, but go to our website and there's a video that will explain all this, bodygamesmusic.com, but we perform behind a kind of very large, almost giant, translucent sheet. It's like a scrim fabric sheet, and when the lights are off in the venue, and you project an image onto that sheet, kind of behind the audience towards the band, the image hits the sheet, but you can see the band very clearly behind it. So it almost looks like the sheet's invisible and the image is just sort of floating there. People have kind of described it to as you guys look like you're inside of like a computer screen or a television sometimes. And what we did was in the game, we took some of those visuals that we project because our songs, we have kind of syncopated visuals. They're unique for each song. And we kind of turned them into a special powers that, you know, one of the characters, Adam Gretz, he's a visual artist and he provides a lot of the video content for Body Games. And so him and I worked together where he would send me the kind of files and he would turn them into from video into picture files. And then we would kind of put them together as a sequence to kind of make it look like they were animated because the game can't handle like video in that way. It has to have pictures. And with a lot of kind of trial and error, we ended up able to make it. So when you're in the game and you're fighting, you know, the baddies or the monsters throughout, you can actually project Body Games images onto the bad guys for various effects. And so it was really cool hearing some of our fans reach out to me and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, you got the visual from your song Sunny Day as one of the special powers. That's so cool. And for those who aren't familiar, I think maybe it gives them something, you know, excited to maybe go look into. So.
Well, what's nice about it is it's a real integration of both the platforms, the media, and the technology. So rather than sort of slapping one thing on the back of another and hoping that it all holds up by the end of the project, this is a real integration. It becomes its own thing. By the time you're done with it, which I think is pretty cool. But let's talk a little bit about, too, some of it. Now, there are, I have to say, it's not totally kid-friendly in that there are a frequent references to, let's say, marijuana and psychedelic mushrooms. So, you know, that sort of thing is in there. Much more acceptable these days than in other days, but I should point it out. But the game is set in downtown Carrboro, and I'm wondering about the local setting. That's cool because it has a lot of appeal. And what are some of the town's landmarks that you wanted to feature?
Yeah, so I wanted to feature all of it, Frank, to be honest. I wish that every single special place in Carrboro could have been in there. You know, we had a lot of people when this thing was kind of announced, they were asking like, oh, man, can I go to Carburitos and order, you know, the Tofu Tuesday burrito? Or can I go to Open Eye and get, you know, and so I had to kind of be like, ah, not everything's there because, you know, as a one-person development team, I didn't have the time and the resources to make it happen. But where we chose to focus on was actually very close to my home, where the game was made entirely, actually created in Carrboro. I live here. And I thought, you know, I want to make the places that I'm very familiar with. And so, you know, Orange County Social Club is one of my favorite kind of bars in the area that I love to hang out with or hang out in. And Spotted Dog Restaurant. All Day Records, one of my favorite local record shops. The Cat's Cradle, obviously, you have to have that. That's kind of one of the main focal points of the story. We even have the Wendy's in there and the Bank of America, which, you know, it's kind of like those aren't exactly as local. But yeah, so that's a handful of places. Jade Palace, Weaver Street, places that people kind of are familiar with and associate with
Dax,
Carrboro.
All capitalism is local. Let me just say that.
That's true.
Go ahead.
Good point. Yeah. No. One thing I did want to mention about that while I'm on the subject before I forget is if you go to download the game, it is free, though you will be prompted to donate if you would like to some of these establishments that the player can actually visit within the game. So it's actually been remarkable the amount of people who have been donating. And we plan on kind of giving these donations, 100% of them, to help these businesses kind of in the middle of you know, the shutdown and COVID. And hopefully this kind of gives them a little bit of relief.
What do you think the appeal will be for people who are perhaps not gamers and perhaps not local? This kind of thing has a certain charm, I would think, because of its local quality and local nature.
Yeah, that's a great question. Frank, if you're asking me, can you play Super Body Games RPG? The answer is yes. Even, you know, you mentioned you're not a gamer, right? You're not super familiar with it, but we wanted to make it very accessible and to anybody who wants to just hop in and maybe walk around a digital Carrboro. The battles, we tried to make them very easy to understand and grasp. And throughout the game, you know, I'll admit it gets progressively more challenging, but I worked very closely with my writing partner, Derek Goode. He was someone who was very involved in the story aspect, and he would kind of give me some checks and balances when he thought the game was maybe getting a little too challenging, because I come from a background of playing video games since I was a kid. So I would say, oh, this is a good level of challenge. And he would say, no, let's reel it back. We want everyone to be able to play. So actually, I've been getting a lot of feedback from people that say, honestly, the words I keep hearing are, this is appropriately challenging. And I'm hearing that from non-gamers, right? People who don't play games, who are telling me they're having a blast and really enjoying the experience. So hopefully that translates.
Great stuff. Dax Beaton, member of Body Games, the band, and creator of Super Body Games RPG. Dax, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure to be here, Frank.
You can find out more about the game, the band, and the music at our website, stateofthings.org. And just a brief note again at the end of our program to say that earlier today I announced to our staff that I will be retiring at the end of the year as host of the State of Things. I love all of you so deeply, and I love what I'm doing deeply and what I've learned in this job over the 14-plus years that I've done it. Everybody asks me if I'm going to write a book, and no. Frankly, the remainder bin is just full of books by former NPR people. So, no, I won't be writing the book, but I could because of how great you all have been and how great the staff in WUNC has been. But the fact is, as much as I love what I'm doing, this moment, this COVID moment, gave me time to ask myself what else I could be doing. And when I asked that question, the big wide world just jumped out ahead of me, and I thought this is the perfect moment to follow the adventure in new directions. So I will be doing that, but you're stuck with me until the end of November, so we'll keep talking, won't we? State of Things is produced by Grant Hollaborman, Anita Rao, Amanda Magnus, Kaya Finlay, and Stacia Brown. Jenny Lawson's our technical director. Al Widarski's engineering the show today with help from Sean Rue. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia. King.